God's Lesson in How to Raise Children. And when we look at the story of Gakeda, and we've been talking about it for a few weeks, and I feel like maybe some of you feel like I'm, you know, beating a dead horse, but tonight I think that we'll come to a conclusion of some kind. And truth be told, I came to this interpretation through a lot of reading that I had been doing, and then last week I finally found somebody who says it. And not only that, it's a Rishon, it's the Ralbag. So I said, you know what? You know, it supports the approach which I want to share with you. And I only found it because he's quoted by the Abravanel. So then I went to the original source and I found it, and it's absolutely amazing. When we look at the story of the Akedah, you know, God seems to tell Abraham to take his son, bring him to a mountain and kill him. And it's very troubling. It's very disturbing when you think about what this means. I mean, after all, Abraham has just been told, after he had to send Yishmael out, Kivi Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara, that through Yitzchak is going to, that's where your line is going to continue. Your children will be known through Avram, Yitzchak, and eventually Yaakov. Now, obviously, he wasn't told about Yaakov then, but that's the line you're going to have. And last week we talked about, if the events which took place before triggered this episode. Was this a punishment? According to the Rashbam, it was a punishment. Was it inspired by the things which had taken place? So I'm not going to go into that. What I want to do tonight is I want to look at the actual words of the text. And not to read through it, because reading through it is a waste of our time, but to see if in the text we can find a new approach to what this is about. And of course, this includes reading through the lines, between the lines rather, so that we can understand, at least from the perspective that now I can say the Ralbag brings, of what is taking place. And we're going to look at these questions. Was Abraham being tested? And last week we said that Nisa doesn't necessarily mean tested, despite what the translation will say. Nisa could mean that Abraham is going to be raised up, that Abraham is going to become improved on account of this. Abraham is going to become a better person through what's going to be taking place on the top of this mountain. If he was tested, what was the purpose of the test? What was he required to do to pass the test? Did he pass the test? What role did Yitzchak play? Was Yitzchak an active participant? Was he a passive participant, a casual observer? Or did he have an entirely different role? What message did God send to Abraham in his instruction? Did Abraham understand correctly? Might he have misunderstood, made a mistake? Or did God perhaps hide some of the details or be purposely vague? Okay, so those are the questions which are going to be guiding what we're going to be doing this evening. So what I did just to guide my own presentation this evening is I made my own Parish Rashi, if you will, on this. And as you read along, and I'll just point out the different things. So the way I put the text tonight on the Hebrew side, it's actually a cut and paste from the way I presented it, I think, at our first class. We had that chiastic structure. If you look about a little more than a third of the way down, you see Vayomer Hineni Bini, that was the center of one of the chiastic structures. There are other parallels in the text, and I'll point them out as we go along, all to get to essentially the same point, which is what the Akedah was really all about. So, Vayehi Achar HaDevarim Ha'Eleh, and it was after these things. So, as I said, it was either after some events which took place, or maybe they were inspired after the Bris, the destiny changing episode of the name change from Avram to Abraham, and from Sarai to Sarah after the birth of Yitzchak, the exile of Yishmael, and here's the kicker. Essentially, the steamrolling through life for Yitzchak. What does that mean? Yitzchak is born, he has his bris, and the first thing that his mother says is, kick out the other boy, because I don't want him to be around my son when my son is growing up. And Avram has difficulty with that, but ultimately he does, and he listens to what she says, and that's the beginning of what seems to be Yitzchak's easy life, in a sense. I mean, think about it. Even after the Akedah, we wonder if Avraham got the lesson. Avraham says to his servant, "Go find a wife for my son." Yitzchak doesn't have to do anything, and the man brings back Rivka. Of course, Yitzchak marries her. But Yitzchak's life, in a sense, is Now the path is being steamrolled before him. After the treaty with Avimelech, okay, that was the last episode, which is before the Akedah. It seems to take Avram's future into consideration, but not Yitzchak's specifically. And the reason why that's a problem, by the way, that Avram seems to only be thinking about himself, as we see later, because Yitzchak has the same problem with Avimelech. Avimelech and Yitzchak have a confrontation later on, and they seem to ignore anything that had taken place between Avram and Avimelech, which seems to imply, again, that Abraham is not, you know, in the direction in which his life goes, he doesn't consider ramifications for when he's gone. He seems to assume, I'll always be there, and my son is just going to come along for the ride. V'hai Elohim nisas Abraham, and it is God, the name of God, which represents judgment and mercy, who perhaps was unpleased with the job of parenting that Avraham was doing. Remember, Avraham is a relative novice to this. Avraham had Ishmael, but obviously he didn't do a good enough job in the sense that Sarah was pleased to have Ishmael stick around when Yitzchak is born. Hagar has a tremendous influence in Ishmael's life. So Elohim was the God of judgment. Nisa, does he test Avraham? Does he raise him up, or does he give him a challenge to make him greater? That's one of the opinions which we saw last week. S. Avraham. So that this task, whether it's going to be a test, a challenge, or a growth prospect, is for Avraham. Right? The way things are depicted, however, Yitzchak seems to be as much tested, in particular after he figures out his father's designs on him. But the Torah says that whatever's taking place is Avraham's experience alone. Right? So then what's the purpose of Yitzchak there? Think about it. This is the first time in all of the tests, if this is a test, that Avraham has, that he's being told to include somebody else. I mean, Sarah's been at his side, and maybe part of his test once upon a time was her abduction, and he has to deal with that. But it wasn't that he was told, bring Sarah along. He could have left her behind. Nobody told him to bring her to Egypt. Nobody told him to bring her to Gerar, where she gets abducted by Avimelech. Avraham wasn't told to take them. And then now here God says to him, Vayomer Elav Avraham, he calls Avraham, and Avraham says, Hineni, I am here. Right? First step, check. When God calls, Avraham is ready at the helm to do God's will. So far, Avraham is doing well. Vayomer, God says to him, Kachnas binchas yechidcha asher hafta. He says, first of all, now, what does the word na mean? Does it mean please, or does it mean now? There are different times in the Torah when it means one or the other. Is Avram being commanded to do this, or is Avram being requested to move along in this direction? Okay. He's told, kach, to take. Any time in the Torah where somebody is told by God to take something, they're told exactly what they need to bring. The classic example is Moshe, who's told to take his stick on a number of occasions. That's all he needs to do what God is going to have him do. So in this case, what does God tell him to take? Kach na'asbincha, es yechidcha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak. Take your son, your only or your special one that you love, take Yitzchak. Now Rashi says the different stages here were to weed out Yishmael from Avram's thinking. Perhaps, following our line of reasoning, Avram was being taught an important lesson. How does Avram view Yitzchak? First, as bincha, your son. Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. As yechidcha, your only one, your special one. Isn't he special? Look at the way I treat him. Everything, I give him everything on a silver platter. Asher ahavta, that you love. That's right. I suffocate him with love. As Yitzchak, he needs to become Yitzchak. He needs to become his own person. So when I was putting this together, I was reminded of the joke. There's this kid where his mother, he's going off to school, and his mother says to him, okay, Bubala, don't forget to tighten your jacket. Zip up all the way to the top. Okay, Shanipunim, come here, take your lunch. Okay, Yingala, here's your backpack. Go on the bus. Sweetie Pie, just go. Don't miss the bus. Go. So when the kid comes home from school, his mother says to him, so, Tata Shana, did you learn anything today? And he says, the first thing I learned is my name is Michael. But maybe that's what God is telling him. Maybe he's saying, you know, bincha, yechidcha, sharafta. Yitzchak, hello, he's a person. He's not just a chip off the old block. He's got to become his own block. So maybe that's what Avram is being reminded here.
This okay. is also not the same exact thing, but the other thing that pops to mind is Lech Lecha in the Arts of Amin.
That's the next thing, right? The Lech Lecha, right? And Lech Lecha, okay. The exact language which we've, and this is the first key. You're going to be taking Yitzchak. You're going to do Lech Lecha all over again. The difference is that you've done it already. Now, I don't want Yitzchak to leave his father's home in the way you had to. Your father was an idolater. Your house is a great house to be growing up in. But nonetheless, Yitzchak needs this experience. I don't want him leaving the land the way that you left your father's land. So he needs to go to Lech Lecha, El Eretz HaMoriah, to the land of Moriah. Okay, that's where he's going to have his Lech Lecha experience. But you're going to guide him along the way. Now, what's going to happen in Eretz HaMoriah? Why is Avram going to Eretz HaMoriah? One of the questions which we addressed last week is, why does Avram have to go to that specific place? Why can't he, if he's meant to kill Yitzchak, why can't he just do it in his front yard, let the whole neighborhood see how much Avram loves his God, whether they think he's crazy or not, you know, whatever. But why does he have to go to Eretz HaMoriah? So here's the first insight. Maybe the reason why Avram has to go to Eretz HaMoriah, the land of Moriah, is because there's something there waiting for him that he needs to do with Yitzchak. Of course, what's the answer? We know the end of the story. What's the answer? What's waiting from there? A ram is waiting from there. Okay. Now, why are you going to Eretz HaMoriah? Because you're going to find a ram. V'ha'alehu sham le'ola. And there you're going to raise him as a sacrifice. Now what does that mean? First of all, what does Eretz HaMoriah mean? What does the word Moriah mean? There's a word which appears, not a word, but a root word which appears many times in this whole story. Okay, what?
Yira.
Right, either Yira or more, Re'iya, seeing. Moriah is from the word Moreh, which means to, what's a teacher? What does a teacher do? A teacher shows. Okay, what does the word Moriah mean? You're going to a special place, to a unique place, to a place that will be known as holy to all one day, right? Har Moriah, it's the Temple Mount. Yitzchak needs to take this journey. He needs to feel a scaled down version of your first big test of Lech Lecha. But the test is for you, Avraham. Can you let go enough so Yitzchak can even have such an experience? Moriah is from the word, as I said, to show. God shows, God sees, God teaches. Right? But it's also fear of God, or God's fear, as we're going to see. God, Avram says, Avram is told, Yireh Elokim, and he calls the place Hashem Yireh. Yireh Elokim means he's God-fearing, but he calls the place a place where God has vision, or where God sees. What does that mean? Or, I read some, I don't remember who said it, but one suggestion is probably in this book I have, The Last Trial, where they suggest that the word Moriah is from the word Timurah. What's a tamura?
Oh, exchange.
Exactly. An exchange. A play, you know, a replacement. Why are we going to Moriah? Because there's something there. Raise it there as an Olah. Now, what's... So now's the question. Is that phrase, V'ha'alehu sham le'olah, is it talking about Yitzchak? Or is it talking about what's waiting there at the top of the mountain? Okay, so according to Abravanel, the Lamed in le'olah is to be understood at, like the way the kaf as a preview is meant to be understood, ke'ola, as an ola. The Rabbag takes it even a step further. He says it means tachat, and he gives an example, but he says instead of, in other words, as if, in other words, whatever you're going to be doing with Yitzchak, if you're going to understand this regarding Yitzchak, it's as if he's going to be a sacrifice. In other words, if the Lamed does in fact mean that, then Avram is never told to kill his son. And I'm going to prove it to you as we continue to go through these words, that every step of what Avram was doing was exactly right, even insofar as picking up the knife, until his intentions became apparent. Okay? Now that, by the way, sounds similar to what Avram was told in Lech Lecha. You're going to go, Lech Lecha, El Haaretz Asher Areka, which means to the land, go for yourself, to the land that I will show you. Here's the same thing. You're going to go to one of the mountains that I will show you. Okay, continue. Pasuk Gimel. Avram arose early in the morning, perhaps because the instruction came in a prophecy during the night. Some people talk about the fact that Avram slept during the night, was able to get up in the morning, but he may have had Avram's prophecy in general comes in the nighttime. So it could be that Avram saw this in a dream, and then in the morning he got up. Maybe he's just the reason Magdim the mitzvahs, right? You rush to do the mitzvah. It doesn't, I don't think it really matters for our purpose, although there are lessons to be learned from Avram getting up in the morning. He saddles his donkey. Remember, this is his test. And he takes Shnei Ne'arav. Now, by the way, when he had his Lech Lecha experience, who did he take with him? Vayikach Avram Esarai Ishto V'es Lot Ben Achiv. He took two people, Sarai and Lot, V'es Koruch Husho and all of his property, V'es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, and the people that they had introduced to monotheism in Charan, and that's who he's bringing. So now who's he bringing? Two people as well, along with what God told him to bring, which is Yitzchak. So he brings his two lads, right? Vayikach Shnei Rabbi Tovi Es Yitzchak Beno. Okay, that's what he was told to bring, Yitzchak. And if he's having a Lech Lecha, he has to bring two more people, as he did back in the day. And then, what else did he bring? Vayivaka Atzeola, and he also took wood for the fire. Now wait a second, Avram wasn't really told to bring wood, but wood has all kinds of symbolism, which I talked about in the first week, at the end of the first class, which we talked about how you know, I don't want to go into the symbolism per se, but wood represents a certain, you know, Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, and you know the Eitz HaChaim, which is on our Torah, the poles that hold the Torah together, is Eitz HaChaim. And I like to think that what Avram is doing is he's packing that symbol with him for what they're going to do. But on a simple level, Avram is preparing for an Olah. Of course, there are those who ask, why doesn't he assume that he'll find wood somewhere? I mean, God told him, you're going to make an Ola. You're going to make an Ola. An Ola is a burnt offering. You're going to make an Ola there. You know, wouldn't God provide the wood over there? Why does Avram need to bring his own wood? Okay, it's a topic of a different discussion. Vayakam vayelech elamakom asher amar lo Elohim. And now he's going exactly as God said, just like Lech Lecha back in the day. Vayakam vayelech. Right? There's that word again. Just as God told him. Vayom Hashalishi, so it's on the third day. Now the third day in Tanakh in general, certainly in the Torah, are usually days when people are either running out of patience, or they're running around because they're really confused, or trying to figure out what needs to be done. For example, Lavan discovers Yaakov has left on the third day. The Shechem massacre takes place on the third day after the circumcision. Paro's party takes place a third day after Yosef interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker. Yosef lets his brothers go after he has imprisoned them, and he's the viceroy. He lets them go on the third day, saying that he is God-fearing. The event of Sinai takes place on the third day. God said, everywhere, or Moshe said, everybody prepare, on the third day God's going to come down on the mountain. Okay, so there's significance of the third day in terms of a big event of some kind. So here they travel for 3 days. And on the third day, Vayisa Avraham Asena Vayaras HaMakom Yerchok. Let's remember this phrase. Avraham lifted his eyes. Now why does one lift one's eyes? One does this either because one has been looking down up until now, or because one has not really been looking, or because you notice something, but when you notice something, you really notice something. Have you ever look across the room and you know you see the room and then you recognize somebody's face? Or somebody starts to wave to you like, oh, I didn't see you. What do you mean you didn't see? Of course you saw. No. You saw, but you didn't process. And that is what Avram is experiencing over here. Vayisa Avraham es einav, vayar es hamakom erachok. He saw hamakom from the distance. What is hamakom? The place. Certainly it means the place. How did he know it was the place? Sometimes hamakom refers to God. What did Avram see? What was Avram meant to see? What was Avram looking to see? What was Avram looking to find? He was looking to find the place, right? El Achad Ha'arim Asher Amar Elecha, to one of the mountains that God is going to be showing you. What was that mountain? Hamakom, the place. What's the significance of that place? Abraham says to the boys, Vayomer Abraham on the Arab, Pasukei, Shulachem Pomachamor, Vaniva, Nar, Nelchad, Kov, and Shtachavev, and Ashuvalachem. Abraham tells them, you stay with the donkey, I and the young man will go. We're going to prostrate and return to you. Now there are those who say that Abraham prophesied, but didn't know what he saw, or didn't understand that he and Yitzchak were going to be returning. There are those who say Abraham lied, because he didn't want them to get nervous that he was going to be killing Yitzchak. And there are those who say that Abraham intended, with this line, to actually return with Yitzchak. with Yitzchak's bones, that is. I like to posit that Avraham meant exactly what he was going to say, and that Avraham knew that he was going to be coming back with Yitzchak, but he just maybe didn't understand how. Okay. Then, Vayikach Avraham Esatzei Olah, Avraham takes the wood for the Olah, Vayasem Al Yitzchak Beno, and now Avraham is finally taking the bull by the horns and including Yitzchak when he places the wood on Yitzchak. Now, in our first class, I said that if the wood is a symbol, he's placing the wood on Yitzchak. He's showing him, you know, that you need to take the wood with you. It's part of your life. Of course, if Avram is assuming that Yitzchak's going to die, what's the big deal that he's doing this now? There's no point to it. But maybe Avram is taking an opportunity at long last to include Yitzchak in something that God told him to do. What else does he take? He takes in his hands the fire and the ma'achelet. What are these for? Avram was never told to bring these items, and why is it called a ma'achelet? I can't go into now why this knife is called a ma'achelet. I mean, it comes from the word ochel, and so I'll just give two examples. One approach is that Avraham is going to be causing a certain kind of permission of eating animals of a karban. Nobody has really brought a karban in the Torah up until now. The only karban that we've ever seen. I'm sorry, there are two, but one is only called a mincha. Right? Hevel brought a mincha, an offering of animals, but he wasn't allowed to eat them, and in those days they weren't allowed to eat meat. Noach also brought an olah, but it seems like he burnt the entire thing, he didn't eat anything either. So Avram is, in what he's doing now, is paving the way for eating. Right, I'll just leave it with that interpretation, but in any case, so Avram brings these things for what purpose? By Yechushneim Yachdav, and they walk together. This is the next stage in education. And we get it straight from Uncle Moshe. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me. Just walk beside me. And that's what Avram and Yitzchak are finally doing. Up until now, our vision of Avram is Avram walked alone. That was, you know, Avram was his own man. Finally, God says to him, you got to bring your kid along. You got to show him the way. And so by Yechush Neham Yachdav. Then Avram and Yitzchak have this conversation. Yitzchak says to his father, my father. And Avram says, Hineni b'ni. Okay, we talked about it in our first week. Here I am, my son, I'm here. We are here. We're going to have this experience together. Yitzchak says to him, Hinei ha'esh v'ha'itzim v'ayeh ha'seh l'olah. Here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Okay, what's the fire and the wood for? Is it symbolism? Absolutely. Is there depth to it? For sure. Is it practically there to burn an offering? Yes. Where is the lamb for the Olah sacrifice? Okay. Yitzchak is asking, how am I to know what to do, Dad, when you don't bring all the supplies? What does it all mean? In other words, I think it's Abravanel who says that it's the Rabbah who says, Yitzchak clearly knew what an Olah is. Avram had made Olah sacrifices before. Yitzchak had seen them. He'd never been included in them before. And now he's saying to his dad, look, I see you have all the ingredients, but you're missing something very important. How am I supposed to be part of this process of what you're doing and of what we're going through if, bottom line is, you don't have everything? And what's Avram's answer? Avram says, Elohim yir Eloah selil labani, pasuk ches. Avram says, God will see for himself where the lamb for the sacrifice is, my son. He says, we don't do everything by ourselves. What do you mean? God sent me on a mission. He told me to bring you. He mentioned an olah, an offering. He said something about bringing an olah on the top of the mountain. But he didn't say more. And that's why we're here. God will show us. God knows what the end will be. And this is something which Yitzchak needs to hear from his father. Because, do you know how many conversations Yitzchak and Avram have in the Torah? Anybody? Yeah. One. This is it. This is the only conversation that Avram and Yitzchak have with one another. Yeah, exactly. It's like straight out of The Chosen, right? You know, he raised me with silence. What is it? I don't remember that. Yeah. Right? With silence? Okay. So that's what Avram is saying. He says, look, God gave me instructions and it's in God's hands now. Right? Why are we being sent to Moriah? Because there's something there. I believe there's something on the top of the mountain. They have to go together because this is the mission. Father and son, mentor and student, master and master-to-be, who must learn how to fill his father's gigantic shoes. Continue. Asher Amar Lo Ho Elohim. They come to the place that God, and remember, this is still the God of judgment, and remember, this is Hamakom, okay, that God had said. Why is it described as Hamakom Asher Amar Lo Ho Elohim? Vayavo Hamakom. They got to the spot. Why do we need to be reminded about God's hand? Because we have to see God's hand. We have to see God's guiding light. And pay careful attention to the very next few words. Vayivan Sham Avraham es Ha Mizbeach. Avraham built the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach. Has anybody ever heard anything about the spot where Avraham was going to be doing this? Had it been utilized for similar types of activities before? So there are those who say that the offering, the Mizbeach that Adam built, was here. A Mizbeach that Cain and Hevel built was here. That Noah built was here. Avram was coming back to it. Avram has built Mizbeachs in the past, altars. Each time the Torah says, Vayivan Sham Avram Mizbeach. Avram builds a Mizbeach. Here it says, Ha Mizbeach. What's Avram showing Yitzchak? Look, people have been here before. This has been done before. But I'm showing you that we need to go back, look at the generations that preceded us. That's why Avram is rebuilding the Mizbeach that's on the top of that mountain already. It's already been set. I almost said been set in stone. It's already been set that this is the place where we're going to be doing this. But we're going to seal that idea that this is the place where offerings need to be done. And Vayaroch HaSaitzim, and he set up the wood. Vayakod as Yitzchak beno, vayasem oso al mizbeach mima'al ha'itzim. He tied up Yitzchak, placed him on the mizbeach above the wood. Now, where is he placing him? Is he placing him, laying him down, ready to kill him? Or is he placing him up on that mizbeach? Remember, he hasn't put fire yet. Is he placing him up on that mizbeach so Yitzchak will have a clear view? Is he tying him up so Yitzchak won't run away from being slaughtered? Or is he tying him up, and I know this sounds like a stretch, but is he tying him up so Yitzchak won't say, Dad, I don't want any of this. Just leave me alone. We don't know anything about Yitzchak. We've never seen him before. I mean, we've seen him just as a character in the story, but we don't know anything about his personality yet. But remember, if you look at the story anew, we know zero about him. We don't know. Is he like Ishmael? Does he horse around? Does he play around? Is he a wild kid? We don't know. We don't know anything about him. So maybe Avram is saying, look, okay, we're here, you know, we've had a nice conversation, but I need to make sure that you're here. Now, I'm not saying that Avram didn't have designs on killing his kid, but maybe Avram had multiple designs because of the vague nature of what Avraham was told to do. Keep going. Vayishlach Avraham es yado, Avraham sends his hand. Vayikach es hama'acheles, and he picks up the knife. So far, anything wrong? If Avram is going to be waiting for an Ola, which is on the top of the mountain, okay, I mean, it's odd that he's tied up Yitzchak, maybe. But on the other hand, maybe it's not. Has Avram done anything wrong yet? The answer is no, certainly not in the way that I've spun it, and it doesn't even have to be a spin. Then what comes wrong? L'shchot es beno. He wants to slaughter his son. Whoa, Avram, left field, where did you come up with that one from? Nobody told you to slaughter your son. And that's why it's only at that moment. It's not after Vayikach es hama'acheles that he takes the knife, that the angel interferes. It's after we finally understand that Avraham is understanding something in a way. In other words, Avraham is just taking things to their natural step, their natural progression. Avraham hasn't looked around yet. What has Avraham seen up until now? Avraham's only seen one thing. Avraham has seen Ha-Makom, the place, and that's where he is now. But Avraham hasn't seen what he needs to, Ha'alehu Sham Le'olah, what he needs to raise as an offering. And so he's looking around and he says, all right, there's nothing else here. I guess it's my son. What do you mean you guess it's your son? And that's why the angel comes in at that moment and says, whoa! By crying love, Malach Hashem, the angel calls out, Min HaShemayim. And what kind of angel is it? Up until now we've had Elohim, right? It's all been Elohim, the God of judgment, the God of din. What kind of angel calls out? Malach Hashem. That's God's name, Yudke Vavke, which is mercy, compassion. And says to Avraham, 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 this is not what we bargained for. You've done everything right until this moment. But he calls him out twice to get his attention. And Avraham says, Hineni. Avraham interrupts. Yeah, okay, what? What is it? I'm ready to do your bidding. Am I going too slow? Should I speed up? Should I hurry it up? Do you want me to stop? Whatever you want. I'm going to do whatever God wants. And so the angel says to him, okay, don't send your hand to the lad. Go back to Psukim. Vayishlach Avraham es yado. Right? Look at the language. Avraham sent his hand. What was his intent? Veshchot es beno. To slaughter his son. Now in Yudbeis 12, Atishlach Yerecha Elanar, don't send your hand to the boy. Okay, in other words, the angel is saying, don't slaughter him, which seems to have been your intention. So now, the next thing which the angel says seems to be superfluous. V'altas lo ma'uma, don't wound him in any way. So there are those who suggest that Avram said, well, maybe I can do something. I need to spill some blood here. I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm here. And they said, no, Altas Luma Uma, Atishlach Yerecha Elanar gets rid of don't touch the neck, which is what you seem to want to do in terms of, that's how you slaughter an animal for a sacrifice. Atishlach Yerecha Elanar. One interpretation says, Avram said, let me just nick the neck. So no, Atas Luma Uma means don't, no wound whatsoever. I read one midrash which suggests that he wanted to stab Yitzchak somewhere else. Now, let me, okay, a non-fatal wound somewhere else. Let me, stab him in the side. No. Nothing. Al taslam umma. Ki ata yadati, because now I know you are God-fearing, you have not withheld your only son from me. In other words, something you did before this point was a fulfillment of what I wanted you to do. Has Avraham finished? No, because Avraham hasn't gotten the blessing that he's meant to get yet. You've done something right. What? You put Yitzchak on that Mizbeach to watch. That was correct. But your intention to possibly kill your son, way off. Had he not yet fulfilled his mission vis-a-vis his son, the angel would not have stopped him. In other words, if the point was to kill Yitzchak, then there's no way. If the point of his being there, I believe, now there are those who obviously are going to argue with me, but if the point of Abraham's being there was to kill Yitzchak, then how could the angel stop him? What gives the angel the right to interfere in God's business? He has no right to interfere in God's business. So that means, atayadati, the fact that he sees that Abraham is God-fearing, means that something that whatever Avram was meant to do with Yitzchak, he's already done. Not that he put him up there with an intent to kill him. That doesn't make any sense. It makes, in my opinion, obviously others feel otherwise, but I feel like it doesn't make any sense. Avram was supposed to put Yitzchak as if an Olah, right? Le'olah, as if he was supposed to be an Olah. Or maybe to be in the best position to see what Avram was going to do. Notice how it never says that he took Yitzchak off of the Mizbeach. It doesn't say that. Let's continue. Vayisa Avraham, Pasuk Yigimah, Vayisa Avraham Eseinav. Avraham lifts his eyes. What happened the last time Avraham lifted his eyes? What did he see? Anyone remember? Hamakom, right? Avraham saw the place that he was supposed to go. Remember what God told him? God told him, take Yitzchak to a place I'm going to show you. V'ha'aleu sham le'olah. Avram's got three things to do. Has he brought Yitzchak there? Yes. And now he saw the place, right? That's the fulfillment of item number two. And number three is Haleu Sham Le'olah. So just as when he saw, Yitzchak's easy. Yitzchak's in his bedroom, so you can take Yitzchak. How do you find the place? Vayisa Avram Esenav. How do you know what you're going to, Haleu Sham Le'olah? Vayisa Avraham Esenav. Avram raises his eyes. Vayar, and what does he see? Vihine Ayil Achar Nesvach. Avram sees a ram, achar, caught in the brambles by his horns. What does it mean Avram sees a ram? I'm sorry, what does it mean achar? He saw an isle, he saw a ram. What does achar mean? Achar means Some say it means after. Some say it means another. Right, that he had, in, that he thought that Yitzchak was the ram, and this is an acher, a different one. But the word is achar, which means after. So one of the midrashim suggests that what Avram saw, when Avram got up there, he saw the ram was walking around, it was there already. But only when it got caught in the bushes did Avram realize, oh my goodness, this is the ram which is destined for me to use. How do we know? Now, it's there for a divine purpose. He now had to actualize his true mission at the top of the mountain. And what does Avram do? And this is another center of a chiastic, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. I'm sorry, not Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. Yud Gimel. I can't show it now because I didn't do it well here. But it is a center of a chiastic where Vayelech Avraham Vayikach Esoil Vayaleil Liola Tachspino, that Avram takes. I'm sorry, Avram goes Vayelech. Right, that's the Lech Lecha. Vayikach Esoil, and he takes the aisle. Vayaleihu Leola Tachspino. Is that the exact same language of what he was told to do? Vayaleihu Sham Leola. It is. Here it's not, he literally is taking it as an olah, as a burnt offering, and now you see tachas b'no in place of his son. And the Ralbag was the one who suggested that that was Avram's original command. It meant as if. You're going to be raising him as if he is an olah, and now we see how it is tachas b'no. In other words, the vision of what Yitzchak is experiencing is that he is perhaps like a sacrificial lamb. Is he a sacrificial lamb? No. Was he meant to be a sacrificial lamb? No. What is the goal? That there is a ram waiting on the top of the mountain. It doesn't make any sense to say, oh, God sent that ram? Come on. God sent that ram because that was meant to be the offering. And that's what it says. Vayisa Avram Asenav, Avram raises his eyes and he sees. Just as Vayisa Avram Asenav Vayar, and he saw the Makom, now Avram sees the ram. And the ram is there because Avram needs to raise that as a sacrifice. So what's the point of Avram taking Yitzchak there to the top of the mountain? What does Tachas Beno mean? Well, remember where Yitzchak is, everybody. Yitzchak is still on the Mizbeach. So Tachas could mean in place of, but it could also mean underneath. Yitzchak, you need to see this, and I want you to see as close as you possibly can, that God told me to jump, and I jumped. God sent me here, and now we're here. And you need to see, Yitzchak, that this is how you serve God. And I'm going to make sure that you are as closest to you are as close to this as you possibly can be, and that's why this ram is going to be Tachas Beni. I did a bris the other day, and the father says to me, I want to do it. Great. But this guy's never done a bris before, okay? So I set it up, and once it's set up, it's safe. No, but I still need to hold his hand. So what does it mean, Tachas Beni? I'm holding his hand. Where is the baby? Under his hand. Right? Avram has to show Yitzchak how to slaughter an animal. We don't slaughter babies. How to slaughter an animal. Yitzchak. Your hand. My hand. Your hand. Where's the animal? Tachas b'ni. Or tachas b'no. Underneath his son. Because Yitzchak is with his father. Being shown the proper way how to go about serving God on the top of the mountain where God sent you to go. After Avraham brings this animal as the sacrifice, what is Avraham finally told? Sorry, Avraham says, "Vayikra Avraham Shem Hamakomahu Hashem Yireh." Okay, what is that? Okay, so Avraham calls the place Hashem Yireh, a place where God sees, God's vision, God's understanding, God's watchful eye. Because Avram almost did the unthinkable, so Avram is appreciative, and he says, Bahar Hashem Yireh, God appears. And then the angel calls him again, a second time. And what does the angel say? And notice, by the way, that it's the name of Hashem which appears now. You don't see Elohim anymore. You don't see God of judgment. You see God of mercy only. The angel calls him a second time from the heavens and says to him, right? The angel says to him, God has basically sworn by my essence that because you perform this act, you didn't hold back your only son, I will bless you greatly and increase your offspring like the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea, etc. Your offspring. Okay, you can read it. Why is he giving him this blessing now? Wasn't the whole point that he would almost kill Yitzchak and not kill him? Wasn't that the point? No. If that were the point, then Avram would have gotten this blessing as soon as he was told, stop, don't kill your son. But the whole point was that Avram on the top of the mountain is going to slaughter a ram which is waiting for him. And that's why it's only after Avram slaughters the ram, with Tachas Beno, with Yitzchak helping him, with Yitzchak underneath, learning the proper way, that Avram gets this blessing. And God says, Eikav asher shamata bikoli, all because you listened to my voice. What was God's voice? And what was the angel's voice? What did Avram obey? What was the point? At what point, as we asked at the outset, did Avraham pass this test? And frankly, just one more question before I summarize and bring this whole idea home. Are we to suggest that Avraham misunderstood what God told him? How could we say that Avraham misunderstood what God told him? The Abravanel says it very nicely. He says, God never changed anything from what he said. When he told Avraham, don't wound him in any way, the Abravanel says, that the protector of Israel would not lie, and he would not go back on his word. And that's why the rabbis were correct in saying the Gemara, which I quoted a couple weeks ago, that v'lo alsa alibi, that when the prophet says that this is an offering which never passed my mind for it to happen, refers to Yitzchak, Yitzchak ben Avram, that refers to that Yitzchak might be killed. He says everything else it's very clear that Avram didn't make a mistake, because the way God presented it to him was done in a way that Avram could have understood one way or the other. It was vague enough that Avram is going to go to the mountain, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he may come to his own conclusions. But he says, this comes from God, and it's just like the prophet who said, I believe it was Shmuel, who said, "V'Hashem ha'elim mimeni v'lo higid li," that God hid something from me, didn't tell me. In other words, there are times when God doesn't lay the whole picture out in front of the prophet. Did Avram understand most of it? Absolutely. But that's because that's all that God gave him to understand. God didn't give him the full picture, because Avram needed to be able to show Yitzchak that when God tells you to jump, you jump. And that when God tells you something and leaves out some of the picture, you say, okay, because I'm God-fearing, I'm going to go there and I'm going to do what I have to do, and I believe that God will show me the way. And that's why I feel that when we look at this segment, because of the difficult questions, you know, what could God have meant by saying kill Yitzchak? Well, maybe he didn't say kill Yitzchak. What could it mean that Avraham doesn't receive the blessings of having fulfilled the promise, for having fulfilled what he was meant to do until after he kills the ram? Well, maybe because that was his whole mission, to go there and to kill a ram. So to go back to the title, if you will, God's Lesson in How to Raise Children, I think that the message of the Akedah, and thank God I have the Ralbag to hang a hat on so that it's not just me, but I think that the message of the Akedah is exactly this title. It's God's lesson in how to raise children. Because there are times when we have mitzvot and we come across things all the time, challenges. And we know that Jewish law, Jewish life, Jewish philosophy, if you will, dictates to us and for us what we're supposed to do. And sometimes it's very difficult. It's a challenge. You say, hold on, is that really what it means? And the answer in many cases is yes. And so we say, okay, well, fine, this is just for me. I'm just going to deal with this on my own, and I'm going to go ahead. And what God is saying is, no, it's not just about you. The way you teach your children, the way you raise the next generation of Jews, is through taking them every step of the way. Now, I remember growing up, and I don't remember so much when I was really younger, but when the shul that I grew up in got much bigger, so my father would have to go to Shalom Zachar's Friday night, and it was very often that, you know, a child was born in the neighborhood, and he never would bring us because he didn't want us to schlep back. You know, it's Friday night; you want to stay home, especially if it's the winter, it's cold. And I remember as I got older, I said, no, you know, I want to go. I want to see you. I want to see what you're doing. I want to hear you speak. I want to, you know. And I'm not knocking my father or comparing him to Avram and Yitzchak, because my name is Avram and his name is Yitzchak. So anyway, but the point is that I feel that what Avram is being told here is you can't leave Yitzchak out in the dark and assume he's going to pick it all up. You got to take Yitzchak by the hand and you got to say to him, look, this is my life and it's your life. It's not I want this to be your life. It is your life. And that, I think, is a very important message that a lot of, certainly the kids that I deal with, are missing. In that they know that they go to a school, or they know that they're being raised a certain way, but they don't necessarily see the value of it because their parents aren't showing them in the right way, this is my life. Parents may say this is important to us, that's why we're investing in it, and it's in many cases at great expense, the education, the kosher food, the living in a certain type of community. But it's for the parents to learn what Avram was meant to learn here, that it's not just about my relationship with God and my kid will figure it out, but my relationship with God is meant to be also my kid's relationship with God. And the only way my kid is going to get it is not if I tell him this is important and I show him that this is important to me, but if I take him by the hand and say, let's have this experience together, that's what Vayalchu Shneihem Yachdav, and that's why it's emphasized, so that Avraham and Yitzchak can both walk away from the Akedah experience, where Yitzchak understanding profoundly, this is going to be my life, because this already is my life. And my father is showing it to me in a way which he has never done before, because Avraham didn't have that much experience as a dad, and he needed to learn that. And so God sent him to a mountain, to a special place, to give Yitzchak a Lech Lecha experience, just as Avram had back in the day, but on a scaled, you know, on a relative scale, because of the fact that Yitzchak did grow up in Avram's house, so that Yitzchak can have this experience, and Yitzchak can walk away from the Akedah, understanding, yes, I'm going to be one of the Avos, because I am one of the Avos. And so when I get married, when I raise my family, my kids are going to know exactly the same thing, because I'm going to do for them what my father did for me. Now, when Yitzchak does that is a topic of a different discussion, but that's my interpretation of the Akedah, and I hope it's a new perspective and something which we could certainly take home with us. Sure.